You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
At 5 minutes after 7 o'clock in the morning. Boy, it's still dark out there, Phil, and it's not even daylight, an end to daylight savings time. That happens next week. Welcome, everybody. The Commute with Carlson, heard this and every single day of the work week from 5 to 9 a.m. Appreciate, and I mean this quite genuinely, you allowing me to be part of your listening day this morning. Okay. I wanted to hone in on two important races that are of vital importance. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, at least not right now. But I will be supplying more detail later on in the week. They are both King County races. One of them is the Port of Seattle. Now, the Port of Seattle, as you know, not only is responsible for the ports, but also is responsible for SeaTac Airport. It's a massive property owner, has a huge budget, huge responsibilities, but it is governed by a five-member board. That's right, just five, very part-time in terms of their compensation. I think it's, what, $500-$600 a month plus expenses for port commissioners, but immense power to shape the future of the Puget Sound economy. And here's how it works at this point. They've got two liberals on the Port of Seattle, Stephanie Bowman and Courtney Gregoire, who I expect to be the prevailing winners of their respective races. And you've got two who are at least moderate. One of them is Tom Albro, and one of them is Bill Bryant. So, and then you have a fifth member who was elected as a moderate and who comes from a very distinguished family. His name is John Creighton, and his father is Jack Creighton, a legendary former CEO of Weyerhaeuser and former national president of the Boy Scouts, and is one of the leading patrons of Tacoma and Pierce County. So many civic and charitable good works over the years. Anyway, his son is Jack Creighton, and please do not confuse the son with the father. Because John Creighton was elected as a moderate and has since gone over to the left. And then he kind of adopts a chameleon-like presence, depending on where he is. But make no mistake about it, his instincts are on the left, and he's a very unpleasant guy when you disagree with him. Hasn't been to me, but with people I know who work with him. So, Bill Bryant and Tom Albro are going to be port commissioners after the election, and Stephanie Bowman and Courtney Gregoire are going to win their races. So it all gets down to this one race between John Creighton and Pete Lewis. Pete Lewis is the mayor of Auburn, has been involved in local government for decades. So, I mean, he understands regionalism, he understands the issues, and he's a smart guy, and he's got a mountain of experience. You definitely want to mark your ballot for Pete Lewis. Make Pete Lewis your priority in the races for Port Commission, because he swings the balance of power away from the left toward the center. It'd be too much to expect that it would be, you know, they'd move him to the right, but at least he could swing it back towards center. So that's what we have right now. We have a 3-2 split for the liberals on the port. By liberals, I mean people who give too much of the store away to the unions, that are too big on spending, too willing to raise taxes. versus, it's a 3-2 split in that direction, which would become a 3-2 split more towards the taxpayer. So that would be an important thing. That would be a real net improvement for the Port of Seattle if they moved from 3-2 toward the left, 3-2 swinging back towards center. Okay, the other race, and Marina Rockinger made mention of it just a moment ago, is there is a King County Council race with a lot at stake. Several of the candidates for King County Council don't even have opponents. One who does is Reagan Dunn. The Democrats want him out. They want him out because he's the most fiscally conservative member of the council. He has said no to more tax attempts to raise taxes than any other member of the council. He's constantly raising issues regarding pork barrel spending, which is notorious in King County. So he has drawn a serious opponent who can write herself big checks. Her name is Shari Song. Every mayor in the district, we're talking Maple Valley, Auburn, Kent, et cetera, et cetera. Every mayor has endorsed Reagan Dunn. Okay, guy pays attention to local government. But the Democrats are, and here's what his opponent's doing. His opponent refuses to emphatically say she'll support a tax increase, but then she'll say, but everything should be on the table. Which means she's kind of winking to the left, which wants tax increases, but she won't commit to raising a tax, so she can say that she hasn't, she's not calling for higher taxes. I mean, that kind of BS that I'm really getting tired of in local government. So your guy is Reagan Dunn. And again, this is someone who, she just moved into the district. This is someone who has a heritage and a history and has been doing some fine constituent services for quite some time on the county council. So do not let the libs drive off the most fiscally conservative member of the King County Council. Get behind Reagan Dunn running in East King County for the county council. Okay, those are the two races I want to talk about this morning. Pete Lewis for the Port Commission and Reagan Dunn. Tomorrow I'll talk about the initiatives that are on the ballot. All right, don't know if you heard about this or not. This is seismic. A school board in St. Helens, Oregon, covers the area near Astoria. So it's right there on the Oregon border of the Columbia River with Washington. School board down there has voted to allow teachers and staff to carry guns on school grounds. The chairman of the St. Helens School Board, Marshall Porter, told ABC News that the board lifted a ban that prevented school employees from carrying guns on campus if they have concealed carry permits. Quote, the current law in Oregon allows for anybody to conceal carry on school grounds, he said. To exclude our staff seems like they're being punished. They should have a right to protect themselves if they so choose. The repeal affects the 7 schools within the St. Helens School District, including a couple of elementary schools, a middle school, a high school, and 3 alternative schools. The head of the school board, Mr. Porter, said he voted to repeal the gun ban to allow adults to protect children if they are confronted with a school shooting crisis. He says if staff members were faced with a horrific choice, if they had to defend themselves against a kid, which has been the thing, I think it would be a hard decision for them, one they would have to educate themselves on. I do believe we're talking about educators, people who have the interests of children in mind. He said he did not have an opinion whether schools would be safer if teachers carried weapons in light of recent school shootings. He said, I don't believe we're less safe or more safe. We had a school without this policy. We were perfectly safe. The school board voted 4-1 to make this change. One school board member, Kelly Smith, said, I have my kids in there. If there was a chance that something was to happen and there's a chance a teacher might be able to protect them, I'm fine with that. Here's my question. Are you fine with that? Do you think this is a good idea? The board did not receive input from teachers in the district as to their feelings. Only one parent has contacted the school board about their dissatisfaction with the result. Quote, I've had more parents email me saying they approve of our decision than not, said Mr. Porter, Marshall Porter, the school board chairman. The move to repeal the weapons ban was less controversial than the vote to bring back school sports at the district's middle school. So, what I'm wondering is, what do you think about their policy? Now, here's a quick overview from Portland Station KATU.
Packing heat in the classroom. Guns are back in St. Helens schools. And tonight, a teacher says the school board ignored what teachers thought. And this has a lot of people riled up.
A teacher's worst nightmare is a gun in a school.
That nightmare was over last.
Now, let's think about that. A teacher's worst nightmare is a gun in the school. I'm going to guess that that very teacher who made that statement would have a very different reaction to a security guard who is armed walking past her in the hallway, a biology teacher who she knew had a concealed carry, who had done two tours in Afghanistan walking past her in the hallway, and a deranged student with a crazed look in his eye who's running down the hallway with a gun in his hand. I mean, in all three of those instances, there's a gun. I'm guessing she will have a very different reaction to the last instance of the student with a gun than the first two instances. So, I mean, someone please explain what it is about the liberal mind where they can't distinguish between a good person carrying a firearm and a bad person. Where it's the gun itself that's the problem. I mean, wouldn't a teacher or a staff member who had access to a firearm at Sandy Hook Elementary, couldn't they have at least limited the carnage? Saved some kids' lives? I mean, it's a very real problem. And I just find it stunning that there is this mental block. Remember, Philip J., we had the head of the Washington Education Association, the head of the union, Mary Lindquist, came on the show and said that she wanted security guards disarmed.
There we go, yeah.
And I said, wait a minute, you want security guards? Yes, I would want the guns off school. Get them off the campus. No more firearms. None of them get them out of here. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute, wouldn't an armed security guard be exactly what Sandy Hook Elementary School needed that day?
Yeah.
And they just won't acknowledge. They are so blind. This is why, liberalism is a religion. Facts don't matter. It's just whether you've got the faith, baby, whether you believe. Because if you believe guns are bad, don't confuse me with facts. Now, you can have a very good fact-based argument about whether you should prohibit guns on campus unless a security guard is in possession of them, or B, whether a faculty member who holds them, who has a gun, is part of a security plan. I think that every school in America should have a security plan that includes lethal force in case you have that nightmare that happened at Sandy Hook Elementary last year, or whether you have, another Columbine, whether it's a student, whether it's a deranged staff member, whether it is a family member of a staff member. It's an absolute nightmare. It probably will never, won't ever come to pass. But if it ever did, don't you want to have that threshold of security? That's what the discussion needs to be about.